Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Opponents of Ombudsman Stanislav Křeček have attempted to prevent him entering his office for the first time. Angela Merkel looks set to visit Prague in the coming months. And two people have been charged over the collapse of a Prague footbridge. Opponents of the freshly appointed Czech Ombudsman Stanislav Křeček attempted to prevent him entering his office in Brno for the first time on Thursday morning. When the protesters refused to move, the police made seven arrests and cleared the way for the new public advocate. Responding to the protests, Mr. Křeček said democratic elections must be respected, adding that at least it highlighted the presence of the Ombudsman's office, of which many people had previously been unaware. Prior to his election as public advocate, Mr. Křeček angered critics by saying he would serve the majority society and wouldn't pursue a human rights agenda. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is due to visit Prague in the first half of this year, meaning during the current Czech presidency of the Visegrad Four, Inhead.cz said on Thursday. The news site reported that the German leader had been invited to a summit of Visegrad Four prime ministers and would most likely come to the Czech capital in May. Chancellor Merkel's last visit to the Czech Republic was in October 2018, shortly before events marking the centenary of the foundation of Czechoslovakia. The State Attorney's Office has charged two people in connection with the collapse of a footbridge in Prague. The architect of the bridge in the city's Troja area and a former head of the bridges section at the state agency that manages communications are facing charges of reckless negligence, the Czech news agency reported. Four people were injured, two of them seriously, when the bridge collapsed into the Vltava River in late 2017. Prosecutors say steel ropes on the structure were damaged by corrosion and that it crumpled following an inadequate safety review and poorly executed repairs. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš and his ANO party colleague Finance Minister Alena Šilarová are two of the most popular politicians in the country, suggests an opinion poll released on Thursday. The STEM survey of ministers and party leaders indicates that 50% of Czechs view Mr. Babiš positively, while Ms. Šilarová's approval rating has climbed to 47%. The next most popular lower house politicians are the Social Democrats Minister of Labour and Social Affairs, Jana Maláčová, on 41% approval, and Pirates chairman Ivan Bartoš on 40%. Footballer Václav Kadlec is due to retire at the age of 27 because of a series of serious injuries, Sparta Prague announced on Thursday. The striker is due to undergo another knee operation on Friday and doesn't plan to return to the game afterwards, his club said. Kadlec made his league debut at 16 and at 18 years and 4 months became the youngest Czech player to score for the national side. Alongside separate spells at Sparta, he played for Eintracht Frankfurt and the Danish side Midtjylland. Finally, a look at the weather. It should be overcast in the Czech Republic on Friday with temperatures of up to 5 degrees Celsius. Daytime highs are expected to rise to around 9 degrees Celsius at the weekend, when there will also be some rain. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's programme, we have news and analysis of the Czech Prime Minister's trip to Brussels, where he is discussing the future EU budget. The Czech Holocaust survivor Lisa Miková has been awarded Germany's highest honour, the Order of Merit. And later in the show, we look at how the local Czech embassy in Cambodia is helping children get a preschool education. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš left for a key EU summit in Brussels, which is to shape the alliance's finances for the coming years in a fighting spirit. The Czech Republic, a member of the Friends of Cohesion group, faces a 24% cut in funds and will vehemently oppose the EU proposal to channel the bulk of a much smaller EU budget into new priorities such as climate and innovation. Daniela Lazarova has more.
The battle to be fought over the planned overhaul in EU finances is one between net contributors such as Germany and France and net recipients who receive more from the EU budget than they contribute, among them the Czech Republic. With Brexit, the EU has lost a big net contributor, and the proposed change to the long-term financing of the European Union would mean a radical change, less money for countries seeking to get closer to the EU standard, money which is being invested into infrastructure and the development of poorer regions. These countries, so-called friends of cohesion, have sounded the alarm, meeting in Portugal ahead of the EU summit in Brussels to officially table their stand against the proposed cuts to cohesion and agricultural funds. Prime Minister Andrei Babiš says cohesion funds are of the utmost importance to the country's development.
We are getting richer, so we will get less money, that I understand. But cohesion funds are crucial for us at the present time. We still haven't finished our highway network. There are many things we need to push ahead with. So we need money for investment, and we need to be able to decide how the money is going to be used.
Since its admission to the European Union, the Czech Republic has received roughly 765 billion crowns more than it contributed. EU funds make up 40% of the country's investments, channeled into infrastructure projects and regional development. Due to the country's healthy economy, the EU is now proposing a 24% cut in funds to the Czech Republic. Moreover, the money should be used for different priorities, with the accent shifting to climate and innovation. The Czech Prime Minister is vehemently against this, arguing that the country best knows where the money is most needed.
We are fighting for money that we know we can put to good use fast. Well, the net contributors are proposing to shift the bulk of the money to central projects where our capacity to draw funds is much lower.
The Czech Prime Minister will push for member states to have more freedom in deciding how the money is to be used, as well as being able to transfer bigger sums from one area to another in the event of need. Other members of the Friends of Cohesion group, such as Poland and Hungary, who support the Czech Republic's demands, will push for a bigger EU budget than that proposed, arguing that cuts in cohesion funds, which would gradually increase the differences in the standard of living across the EU, would undermine public trust in EU institutions in the 17 countries which would be affected by the new policy. At the start of the summit, the differences appear insurmountable, raising fears of fresh discord and a possible no deal on EU financing at a time when Brussels is doing its best to present a picture of unity post-Brexit.
Daniela Lazarova reporting there. Now, staying with the EU summit, the change of course in EU financing being discussed in Brussels may see future funds allotted to the Czech Republic cut by 24% and, moreover, tied to new priority areas such as climate change and innovation. But how would such a shift impact the Czech Republic, which insists that its main investment priority is still road and rail infrastructure? Daniela Lazarová put that question to Ondřej Houska, a financial expert with the leading Czech daily Hospodářské noviny, who is following developments in Brussels.
Hard to say. Theoretically, the impact should not be that vital or that profound, because in reality, everyone knew in advance, because you calculate the money that a country gets from the budget basically on its GDP, and we all know that in the past years the Czech growth of the Czech economy has been quite impressive, so the country should have been prepared for such a cut. If it is the case in practice, only officials dealing with those issues at ministries and at the Office of Government know, so it's hard to say.
We've heard that this money is mainly needed for infrastructure, for building roads and highways. How much would it hurt there?
That's going to change. According to proposal that's on the table, all countries should have different priorities than infrastructure. And two main priorities are research, and the second one is, let's say, call it green economy, fight against climate change, reduction of carbon emissions and so on and so forth. Czech Republic insists that it has to use a large majority of those financing for infrastructure purposes, but the Commission says it's you have enough money for that, and it's your problem that you were not able to build your roads and highways. So this is also part of the fight that's going to be fought in tomorrow and in the next month, probably.
The Czech Republic wants more freedom in how the funds will be used, and transferring them from one budget or one area to another. What are its chances of getting that?
The original proposal from the European Commission stated that a country can transfer up to 5% of its allocation between respective headings. How is it called in the EU terminology? Now it has been raised to 10%. For Czechs, it's still not enough. Again, it's going to be a compromise, maybe 15%, 12%. But the principle is there. Everyone acknowledges that flexibility is needed. The dispute is about the level of flexibility.
Could we be looking at a no deal on the budget?
We will for sure end up with no deal this week. But as always, we will have an agreement at the end of the day, before the end of this year. I'm sure of it. The EU always agrees. I'm sure that every prime minister at the end of the day will be able to say, I'm satisfied with what we've got.
What would be a good deal for the Czech Republic? When could the prime minister say, I'm satisfied?
This is a very good question, which I have asked this question to many diplomats, and the reply is, we don't know. The prime minister insists on his maximalist position, but this position is clearly untenable. At the end of the day, he will be forced to compromise, that's for sure. But where it is, from my point of view, the logical compromise would be to stick to the original proposal of the European Commission, meaning cuts of 24% in the Czech allocation, which is still lower than the growth of the Czech GDP over the last 7 years. But if the Prime Minister is willing to consider that, of course, only he knows that.
And that was Ondřej Houska, a financial expert with the leading Czech daily Hospodářské noviny, speaking to our very own Daniela Lazarová there. Now, in other news, Lisa Miková, a 98-year-old Czech woman who survived internment in Terezín, Auschwitz and other Nazi concentration camps, has been awarded Germany's highest honour, the Order of Merit. The high honour stems from her decades-long efforts to promote reconciliation among Czechs and Germans and educate young people about the dangers of intolerance, Brian Kennedy reports.
Lisa Lichtensternova, as she was then known, was deported to the Jewish ghetto and so-called model camp of Terezín in January 1942, a few days shy of her 20th birthday. A talented artist, she had studied at the Rotter School of Fashion Design and Graphics Arts in Prague, and so was put to work as a draftswoman and painter. In the Terezín barracks, which housed the so-called Jewish self-administration, she met her future husband, František, an engineer who got her involved in the Czechoslovak resistance movement. Miraculously, both survived internment in several camps, including Auschwitz, as she recalled in an interview with our Radio Prague colleague David Vaughan a few years ago.
In Auschwitz, everybody was so shocked, yes, and it was one thing that we were young, and they thought it's a pity to give us to the gas chambers that we could work something. And they sent us to factories to work.
And so that was what saved your life?
My life, that I was young and that I was healthy, and that I survived it. They cut our hair and we had nothing on our head. It was cold, it was freezing.
How did you manage not to lose your humanity?
Everybody managed somehow. Yes, I had always only the will and the wish to survive. to survive, and I was sure that my husband will also survive that and that we will meet. I was sure about it. And I was one of the few ones who met her husband again after the war.
In November 1944, Lisa Mikova was deported from Auschwitz to a subcamp of the Flossenbürg concentration camp near Dresden, where she worked in an aircraft factory. From there, in April 1945, she was transported to Mauthausen, which was liberated by American soldiers a few days before the war's end. Years of hard work in Nazi labor and concentration camps damaged Mikova's hands, leaving her unable to sign her name, let alone draw, and so, she says, her dream of becoming a fashion designer died. Yet despite losing her parents and other loved ones to the Holocaust, she retained her humanity, and after the war, even studied in Leipzig, East Germany, at a higher school for booksellers.
And what was it like going to Germany, of all countries, after the war?
It wasn't always easy. When I saw an older man, I thought, you were perhaps in the SS or in some other organization, yes? It was a very bad feeling for me, very difficult. The young ones, no, the young ones had the same as me, but I was somehow afraid of the older ones. I didn't want to meet them.
Lisa Mikova went on to work for the German Democratic Republic Cultural Center and after 1968 for an importer of books, putting her German and English to good use. A few years after the fall of communism, then in her early 70s, she joined other Holocaust survivors in a number of projects, talking to young people in German and Czech schools about their experiences. A translation of her life story, which in English would read, "Oh please, we are Europeans," by Czech-based German historian Werner Imhoff, is due to be published later this year.
Brian Kennedy ending that report there. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature of the day with Daniela Lazarová.
In addition to the Czech Republic financing developing aid projects around the world, the network of Czech embassies provides aid in small-scale local projects. The Czech embassy in Cambodia recently joined forces with a Japanese embassy and the French Development Agency to fund a project in which two community kindergartens were built in villages in Kampot province. The kindergartens with complementary infrastructure were handed over to the locals late last year and are now attended by close to 70 children under the age of six. I spoke to Lucie Huda, a diplomat at the Czech embassy in Phnom Penh, who took part in the endeavour and began by asking how such projects are chosen.
Each of these preschools was located in a village with some kind of urgent need of education for small children. For example, one of the villages is still suffering from seasonal flash floods, which damaged the former small kindergarten located in the house of one of the villagers. And so it was really crucial to build the preschool on the safe place in this village. The project also closely cooperated with local communities, villagers, and also local authorities, who were really engaged in its direct implementation. For example, one family even donated their own land for the construction of the kindergarten. And it was simply because they wanted the children from the village to have proper preschool education. So it was really an amazing case of their kindness.
And are these two kindergartens in operation now? Is it all working out?
Yes, sure. Actually, the school year in Cambodia starts in November, and both these schools are already in full operation. So they have more than 30 children in each of them.
And like, did it end with you basically handing over the schools, or do you still take an interest in the kindergartens?
Sure. The thing is that we always monitor what is going on there. we cooperated very closely with those kindergartens and local authorities while constructing, while educating the teachers. And actually, the cooperation didn't end by handover ceremony in December, but we are still in close touch with local authorities, and we are still keeping an eye on the progress which is made in these kindergartens.
Are there opportunities for Czech volunteers in development aid projects such as this?
Sure. There may be some opportunities for young volunteers who would be interested in development cooperation. I can mention, for example, the program of United Nations volunteers or the EU aid volunteers, which are accessible also for young people from the Czech Republic.
You co-finance this project with Japan. Is it a common practice for countries to work together in assisting local development projects like this one?
Well, the project was co-funded by the Japanese embassy in Cambodia and also by the French Development Agency. For the projects like this, it's always useful if donors cooperate, because through more funds, we can reach bigger impact.
Where does Czech development aid in Cambodia go?
The Czech Development Cooperation is working through several specific programs in Cambodia. Besides the local projects, among which belongs also the project of kindergartens in Kampot, there are, for example, programs funded by the Czech Development Agency, like big bilateral projects or sending teachers to Cambodian universities, or so-called B2B projects, which are focused on involving Czech entrepreneurs in development cooperation and supporting the development of private sector in third countries.
Give me an example of the local development projects that basically the embassy takes care of.
Last year, for example, it was the local project of two kindergartens we are just talking about. Then we supported another one, which was focused on supporting access to water and sanitation in one primary school in Preiving province. And the year before, I mean 2018, we supported the distribution of clean drinking water to villagers and to the local people in provinces very far from Phnom Penh.
Do you get requests from the locals for help, or do you find these projects yourself? And, you know, I mean, yourselves, do you actually sort of monitor the scene and see where aid is needed most urgently, or do they actually request aid and you decide whether to give it or not? How does it work?
Actually, the Czech Republic, as a bilateral donor, we always must act only based on the request of our Cambodian partners, which are mostly public authorities, because it's bilateral cooperation, right? So we always consult the needs of Cambodia as a country with local authorities. And it means that the local authorities, they first must identify their needs and challenges they are facing, and then they apply for a project through submitting the proposal to the Embassy of the Czech Republic in Phnom Penh. So we are always in touch with our partners, and let's say that we identify the project together with them.
Right. I know the King of Cambodia studied here and knows a great deal about this country. What about the general public? Do people know anything about the Czech Republic, and if so, what?
Well, most of the people is aware of former Czechoslovakia. This is what you will always hear from the people, Czechoslovakia. Some people very well, for example, remember Czech and Slovak doctors active in the country in the 80s, or they remember Czech glass, and those who studied at Czech and Slovak universities remember, of course, Czech beer. And regarding to younger generation, especially those interested in football, all of them know Petr Cech.
Right. You've been in Cambodia for 2.5 years. How has your time in the country enriched you? What do you particularly like about it?
Actually, you know, living in a foreign country is always an enriching experience. But I would say that Cambodia is a very specific case, given the fast-developing environment on one side and the rich, really rich culture and traditions on the other side. But what is really typical for Cambodia and what you as a person either living here or even as a tourist immediately notice is like frank kindness of Cambodian people.
Thank you very much. Lutia Huda on the phone from Phnom Penh. Thank you very much for your time.
And you just heard Lucia Huda there, a diplomat at the Czech Embassy in Phnom Penh, who is speaking to our editor Daniela Lazarova about the Czech Republic's aid project building kindergartens in Cambodia. Now, if you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll certainly be glad to hear from you. But for now, that is all from me, Tom McEncrow. Thank you very much for joining us and have a lovely day.